Since Katrina, the country has, of course, experienced several other major natural disasters, for example, Hurricane Sandy. And joining us now to talk more about mental health in the wake of disasters is Sandro Galea. He is a physician and an epidemiologist at the Boston University School of Public Health. Sandro, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
How did Katrina change emergency mental health care, or maybe mental health care in response to trauma in general?
Katrina was a sentinel event in this country. I think it took us all by surprise at many social political levels, and then also at the level of mental health and mental health treatment. This was a large-scale disaster affecting people from all walks of life, but particularly people who were already socioeconomically disadvantaged. I think as a result of Katrina, our systems of response are stronger. I think it pushed us to consider ways of outreach that we had not thought of before, and pushed us to think about reaching hard to get to populations and making sure that after a large-scale event, all populations who may need help can get help.
What kind of mental health services do people need in the more immediate aftermath of a disaster?
Most scholars who study this and most therapists think that what is most needed are supports, are ways to make sure that those who have lost their houses, lost possessions, lost loved ones, are supported through the acute period so that natural resilience, if it's going to be there, is going to set in. It's also important to keep monitoring people so that those who do have symptoms of mental illness and who continue to have them then get the treatment they need.
What are you learning about the long-term mental health effects? Are we talking mostly about trauma and post-traumatic stress, or what are some of the issues people do experience long-term?
Yeah, the sentinel mental illness after trauma is post-traumatic stress disorder. But one thing that's not well appreciated is that PTSD seldom happens by itself. Post-traumatic stress disorder, in the majority of cases, happens with some other mental illness, many times depression, but other times other mental illnesses. So the treatment for people who continue to have mental health consequences of these events is complex. It needs to take into account the full range of pathology. And in many cases, the full range of pathology is debilitating and disabling. So we have learned that certainly prevention of mental illness after large-scale traumatic events is probably the more effective way to go, which is why I circle back to this helping people return to normal life, supporting them materially, supporting them psychologically, so that they can resume their normal functioning, which is probably the most protective thing that we can do to help people not develop long-term mental illness to begin with.
Do you know any statistics in terms of what percentage of people develops a longer-term problem after a disaster?
The people who are most likely to develop long-term mental health problems after a disaster are those who were themselves injured in the traumatic event. So these are people who are really directly involved with the event. Those people, you can have up to 40%, 4 in 10 of them, going on to have long-term mental illness. Then you have a group of relatives of those people, or relatives of people who died, or people who are close to someone who was injured. And in that group, you can have about 15 to 20%. So it's about 1 in 5 to 1 in 7. You have uniform providers who are also a high-risk group. Those people, you can have about 1 in 10 who can go on to have long-term mental illness. And then you have the general population. Typically, you see 3 to 5%. So 1 in 20, 1 in 25 people may go on to have long-term mental health consequences of some kind after these events.
And finally, I want to ask you about the perhaps other side of the coin, which is post-traumatic growth, where people are growing in response to a trauma on a personal level. What are we learning about that?
There is no doubt that when people go through difficult events, some of us experience different capacities in ourselves that we did not know we had, and that has been cast as post-traumatic growth. People talk about all of a sudden finding courage and finding resources, finding love that they previously did not know that they had in them. Unfortunately, most of the quantitative literature does not suggest that post-traumatic growth mitigates the adverse mental health consequences of a disaster that we have been talking about, which means that if someone has experienced a traumatic event, someone can just as likely go on to have post-traumatic stress disorder or depression, even while she may experience growth on other personal dimensions.
Sandro, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I enjoyed talking.
Sandro Galea is Dean of the Boston University School of Public Health.